All right.
Hallelujah. Technology. We are continuing our study, what we call Countdown to Christmas. We started a couple weeks ago. And, you know, sometimes the Christmas season jumps on us. I don't know about you guys. How many of you guys started your Christmas shopping yet? Well, you're ahead of me. Now, that was only about two hands, so I guess I'm not alone. But, you know, one of the things we don't want the Christmas season, the aspect of the Christmas season that is Christ-centered, to just slip upon us. Amen? And we know that traditionally Jesus was not born on December 25th, but this is the time of year we recognize it. And so we want to just kind of hang on to that a little bit, just look at the aspects of his coming, his birth, and what it means to us as Christians. And so today, in our Countdown to Christmas, we're gonna talk about looking for Jesus. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, we read, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we've seen a star in the east and are come to worship him.'" And notice what they said, "Where is he?" Amen. They're not looking for a church. They're not looking for religion. They're looking for a person, the king who was born. Amen. Where is he that was born King of the Jews? "When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art thou not least among the princes of Judea? For out of you shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And they sent them to Bethlehem, and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' And when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened, now his parents went up to. Okay, we got a computer problem here, a Roger problem. We'll stop there. Now, something that is a misnomer or a misinterpretation is, how many of you guys have ever gotten greeting cards that show Jesus in the manger and mother and Mary, and the shepherds, and the wise men, and the gifts? And of course, that's wrong. The wise men said, you know, that it was 2 years ago when we saw the star. They traveled for 2 years, and noticed that the verse said, in the house. So this is not in the manger anymore. It's in the house. Amen? All right. All right. So the wise men, 2 years in the process, find Jesus, right? We see that Herod then, in the scriptures, the next thing he does is kill all the children under two. And so what does that tell us? It took them time to find Jesus. Amen. In Luke chapter 2, verse 41, his parents went to Jerusalem every year for Passover. Eddie, every year for Passover, right? And so that verse was out of place. So let's just go ahead. So where was he? What made the wise men wise is that they were looking for Jesus. Amen. And you know what? I think wise men still seek him, don't you? That's what makes me wise and what makes you wise. You know, we talked about the wisdom of Solomon this morning, didn't we? And what he was looking for was wisdom. Well, we understand that looking for Jesus is what gives us wisdom. Amen. They said, we have seen his star. The star was the evidence of his arrival. Amen. God always will give you evidence of his arrival. Always. And then the first clue to finding him was prophecy. Amen. You know, we like to talk about prophecy around here. And the first clue to finding Jesus is always prophecy. It's always the word. The scripture that was quoted in Matthew is from Micah 5:2. You, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth unto me that is born ruler of Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting. Now, they didn't quote the whole verse there, but you know, Jesus' coming was from old, from everlasting. Amen. So from the foundations of the earth, there was a day and a time that was planned for Jesus to come, and only a handful of people knew it that weren't pre-warned. Now, we know the shepherds knew it because they were told, right? But the wise men knew it through prophecy and discernment and searching the scriptures. Amen? And I believe, and a few of us believe with us, that we can know when Jesus is coming if we study the scriptures and exercise discernment. Amen? Again. And so we need to look for Jesus. And the first aspect of looking for Jesus is that we find him in the scriptures. You know, many people say, I wish God would talk to me. And I say, well, do you read your Bible? You know, because the first aspect of hearing from God is from scripture, from studying the word of God. Be diligent. Paul told Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God, the workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We are to be students of the Bible. You know, it grieves me when I have went into churches and I see so many people biblically illiterate who call themselves Christians. They want the pastor to feed them. Well, you know what? Imagine how life would be if once a week you got a meal. How would you make it? You would be awfully skinny, malnutrition. And that's the condition of many of the Christians in the church today because they don't know how to feed themselves the Word of God. When we're looking for Jesus, the first thing we do is we find him in Scripture. Now, here's the interesting thing. He's not where you think he would be, right? Tradition, they always show him in the manger when the wise men find him. But he's not in the manger, is he? He's in a house. It's been 2 years. And so, there we have it. So we don't look at tradition. Jesus isn't where he's traditionally at, you know. He's not in a big giant coliseum with the crucifix of Jesus still on the cross. He's in our hearts, and we look for him where we can find him. Amen? In Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, it says, when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child, right? They came into the house, they saw him. They followed the star, they found him. They studied the scriptures. They knew where he should be. Now, the star that led him is a type of the Holy Spirit. Amen? The Holy Spirit will lead us to Jesus. We find him, number one, in Scripture. Number two, we find him by following the leading of the Holy Spirit. The leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit says, this is the way. Walk in it. It's a still, small voice. It's something that's so quiet and subtle. Oftentimes, we miss it as the Holy Spirit. Years ago, I was on my way to Muskogee to work, and I heard a voice that said, Harrison has been hit by a car. Well, I immediately began to rebuke the devil because I thought it was the devil. But you know what? It wasn't an alarming voice. And we try to learn to discern those still, small voices. It was just a still, small voice. And then later on, I prayed for him, and that's what the Lord wanted me to do. We get those still small voices so we can pray, amen? And then at the end of the day, Harrison was fine. I thought I had missed it. I thought I had missed everything. And so we're eating dinner, and Harrison just nonchalantly mentions, you know, Coach had us running, And you know that road that goes in the back of the high school there, where those little mobile storages are off of Choctaw? They're running down the road. It's a very narrow road. And a car went down there and sideswiped him, and he went rolling in the grass. And he would have been hit by a car, just like the Holy Spirit said. But discerning the still, small voice of the Holy Spirit is something we have to be exercising. We have to understand that it is a still, small voice. It doesn't bring fear, condemnation. It's just a soft, sweet whisper so that we can pray, so that we can know what's going on. And so we find Jesus by listening to the moving of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Looking for Jesus. Number three, it doesn't happen overnight. Amen? You know, we live in such a microwave society where everybody wants it now. Amen? Well, I want to know Jesus. I want to be in ministry. I want to do this. You know what? David was anointed as king, but then he wasn't king for another decade. Amen? He was anointed as king, but he wasn't king until he had grown and matured into the position to be the king. He was a giant killer. He was anointed by God. He was anointed by Samuel. But it takes time to walk in your ministry. It takes time to find Jesus. It takes time to know him intimately. It doesn't happen overnight. And that's the way it was with the wise men. Amen? It didn't happen overnight. It took them 2 years. And then they found him. The star appeared 2 years earlier. So it takes time. Now the next major Jewish feast, of course I say major, you know the Feast of Purim is in March. But the next major Jewish feast, there's seven major feasts, is Passover. Passover is considered the time of Jesus' birth by Jonathan Cahn. I'd never heard that till recently. I thought it was in the fall of the year, but we're talking about, you know, the first of Nisan, right in that time frame in the spring of the year. Jesus' birth. Jesus died, of course, on Passover. Jesus may come again on Passover. We don't know. The rapture of the church could be on Passover. In Luke chapter 2, we read that when Jesus was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem for this custom, for the custom of the feast of Passover, Jesus 12 years old. And when they had fulfilled the days, they returned, and the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they supposed him that he had been in the company with some of the friends. They went a day's journey, and then they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance, and when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem to seek him. We're talking about looking for Jesus. Now, this is the quintessential story of looking for Jesus. We had Jesus. We lost Jesus. What happened to Jesus? He was here a minute ago. You know, sometimes that happens to people, too. They have a relationship with the Lord, and then one day they realize they don't. When Samson, the great muscle man Samson, that God had anointed, when he allowed Delilah to seduce him, you know, if you tie me with new ropes, I'll be weak, and then he broke them. If you put my hair in a loom, I'll be weak, and then, you know, he kept busting heads. But when he finally broke his covenant of a Nazarite, and she cut off his hair, he said, I will shake myself as before, but he knew not the Lord had departed from him. And many people go through the religious practice of shaking themselves before they can sing the songs, they can raise their hand, but they don't know the Lord's departed from them. And this was the case with Mary and Joseph. They had Jesus, he was with them, but then all of a sudden, they realized they didn't have him anymore. And so they had to go back and they had to look for him again. And it came to pass after 3 days that they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions, and all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. 12 years old, and he's astonishing doctors of the Judeo law. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, your father and I have sought you with sorrow. Now, notice what Mary says, your father and I. Joseph is not his father. God is his father. And she's probably, you know, she knows who his father is, but she knows all these Jewish sages around are going to understand. And so she just, you know, to cover it, says, your father and I. But I love the way Jesus answers it. And he says, how is it that you sought me wist not that I must be about my father's business. See, his daddy was a carpenter, but Jesus' daddy was all about the temple and the word. Amen. And so here, the father's business is the temple business. The father's business is ministry. The father's business is the word. And that is how we find Jesus. Now, they didn't understand what he was speaking to them about, and he went down with them, and he came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in the favor of God and man. And so when we're looking for Jesus, number four, we find him in the place of worship. Amen. We find him where people worship God. We find him where there is a freedom to worship. We're not talking about a religious traditional structure. We're talking about a freedom to just worship God. He's in that presence. He's there. And then number five, we find him where the Father's work is being done. Amen. We're down in the trenches where ministry is happening. Ministry happens in the trenches. It's not a religious thing. It's where hurting people are. It's where lonely people are. It's where hungry people are. It's where people that need God are. And that's where you'll find Jesus there in the trenches about the Father's business. Amen. In Mark 2:1, we read, "And again he entered into the Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house." Jesus is in the house. Boy, that should make us perk up. Amen. "And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was not room to receive him. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word to them. And they came to him, and they brought one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broke it up, they let him down with the bed of the sick and the palsy." And so they tore the roof off to get to Jesus. We're talking about looking for Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the sick of the palsy, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And there were certain scribes sitting there and in reasoning in their heart and thinking, "Why does this man thus speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sin but God only?" And immediately when Jesus perceived in the spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said to them, "Why reason ye these things in your heart, whether it's easier to say of the sick of the palsy, your sins are forgiven, or to say, arise, take your bed, and walk? But to you may know the Son of Man has power on the earth to forgive sins." He said to the sick of palsy, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go your way into your house." And immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went forth from them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Amen. Now, here's the deal. As we're looking for Jesus this Christmas season, it may require a little digging. Amen. You know, and you know what? We use that term, been around Christianity for a while, about getting into the Word, digging into the Word. Amen. And, you know, there is reading your Bible. We already talked about that. You find him through the Scriptures. But there's something different between just reading your Bible and digging. Amen. You know, that's one of those things where you have a good concordance, or you're going to have a good reference Bible, like a Thompson chain, where you pick a topic and you begin to follow that topic, and that topic takes you to another topic, and that topic takes you to another, and you got a pen and you got a paper and you're scratching out notes and you're looking at these and you're pondering and you're memorizing Scriptures. That's what we call digging into the Word. Amen. And sometimes if you really want to find Jesus, and if you want this Christmas to be different than any other Christmas before where you experience Jesus in a supernatural way, you may have to do a little digging, amen? You may not have to, you know, people say, "Well, you're not going to find Jesus, you know, that's for priests, and that's for these guys, you know, and that's for this." But I'm here to tell you, Jesus can be found if you want to find him bad enough. You can experience him in a supernatural way this Christmas that you've never experienced before. And I mean, Christmas will be like no other Christmas you've ever had. The glory of God filling your heart, feeling like you're walking as high as this platform without the wood under you. Amen. And that's what God wants. Looking for Jesus. Amen. And finding him. So it may require some digging. In Matthew 12:46, While he was still talking to the people, behold, his mother and his brother stood without, desiring to speak to him. Then one said to him, behold, your mother and your brother are standing without, desiring to speak with you. But he answered, and he said, and he told them, who is my mother and who is my brother? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples, and he said, behold, my mother and my brother. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Amen. Tell that to a Catholic. Number 7, discipleship will bring you closer to Jesus. Now, discipleship is not reading the Scriptures, and discipleship is not digging into the Word. Discipleship is where you are mentored, amen, that you ask some of these old-timers questions, and you are mentored by people who have been there, who have lived it. I remember when I was first going in the ministry, the church I was going to had a woman there whose husband had been in the ministry, in evangelism ministry, all over the world for years. She was a 80-year-old widow woman. He had went to be with the Lord. And I went up to her and I said, I'm going to be ministering, and I was wondering if you had any advice for me. And I was expecting some great nugget of wisdom. I mean, it was a great nugget of wisdom, but somehow I was expecting some colorful, flowerful response. And she looked at me with a quirky response and said, you'll make it if you don't get bitter. And she was right. Because believe me, there's plenty of opportunity in ministry to get bitter. And you won't find that in a verse. There won't be a verse for that. I'm sure there's verses about bitterness and verses about forgiveness. But you won't find that perspective without being discipled by someone who's been there, who understands some of the aspects of ministry. You need to be discipled. So as we talk about finding Jesus, looking for Jesus this Christmas season, we need to study the Scriptures. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit. We understand that it's not going to happen overnight. We can't be impatient. We find him in the place of worship and about the Father's business. And it may require some digging, and we certainly need to have a teachable spirit and allow people who've been there to give us wisdom and guidance and direction. Amen. Come on up, Nola. The last verse I want to talk about this morning is Hosea 10:12. Sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up the fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness on you. This has been one of those many verses in my Christian life that I have memorized since I was probably about 21, 22. It was taught to me by someone who was discipling me at one of the lowest points of my life. The reason why many people don't find Jesus is because at the lowest points of their life, they don't have someone discipling them, to encourage them, to tell them what they need to hear. The first thing that Hosea says is to sow to yourself in righteousness. It means don't sin. Live a holy life. Forsake the sins of the flesh. Amen. Righteousness. Sow, that means plant a seed. Plant seeds of righteousness. Allow the Holy Spirit to water it, grow, become more like Jesus. The second aspect of Hosea's verse is reap in mercy. You see, sometimes we can allow the devil to bring condemnation. When we don't always do it right, then we can fall under condemnation. But though we sow in righteousness, we reap in mercy. Because without the mercy of God, none of us are going to make it. Not at all. None of us are going to be perfect. None of us are never going to fail. And so we do the best we can do, but we reap in mercy. We don't reap our we don't trust in our ability to be righteous. That would be earning our salvation by works. We reap in mercy because we get to heaven by the mercies of God. Amen. And the third and probably the most important aspect of this verse is to break up the fallow ground. See, the Bible teaches that our heart is like soil. And oftentimes we can become bitter, unforgiving, because because of what someone has done. You don't know what he's done to me. You don't know what she's done to me. You know? And when that happens, our heart gets hard. Well, that term fallow ground means ground that hasn't been turned, that's full of seeds and rocks. And farmers can't plant in ground like that. So they have to take the sickle and they have to break the ground up, pull the weeds, get the rocks out, make the ground fertile so that it can be planted. And so if this Christmas you would like to find Jesus in a supernatural way, break up the fallow ground. Forgive that person that you need to forgive. Ask God to help you to forgive them. Purpose in your heart, you're going to forgive them. And when you're tempted to think about what they did, find a verse that you can quote instead. And let the word of God, the sickle of God, break up the fallow ground. And so when you've done those things, then God will allow you to seek the Lord. Amen. I'm here to tell you, church, it's time to seek the Lord. We've seen the sun, the moon, the stars, the blood moons. We've seen the signs Jesus is coming again very soon. This could be our last Christmas on planet Earth. If it's not time to seek the Lord now, when is it time to seek the Lord? It's time now to seek the Lord. Amen. And when we do, he will come and he will rain righteousness on. Come on, let's all stand. Hallelujah. There is none like you. Can't touch my heart like you do. Oh, yes, Lord. Eternity long. There is none like you. This morning, if you're here, and you say, Brother Roger, there's some things that you said today about seeking the Lord that I don't know that I can do. Maybe it's the forgiveness. Maybe it's the discipleship. Maybe it's some of the other aspects we talked about. But you know, one of the great things about seeking the Lord is that he wants you to find him. He's not playing hide and seek. And you can ask the Lord to help you find him. Amen. To help you begin to do some of these things. And so this morning as we pray, ask the Lord to help you to seek him, to find him this Christmas season. It may take you a while. It may not happen overnight. But I promise you, he's ready to run and meet you halfway. Let's pray. Father, this morning as we close today, we ask in Jesus' name that you help us this Christmas season to look for Jesus in a supernatural way, to find him in a way that we haven't found him before. Maybe our relationship has gotten cold. Maybe like Mary and Joseph, we think he's right close, but he's not as close as we thought. And so this Christmas season, Lord, we're asking for your help. Help me to seek you and to find you. Help me to break up the fallow ground. Help me to sow in righteousness. Help me to reap in mercy. Help me to seek the Lord with all my heart. And Lord, by faith, I know that I will find you. I will experience you in a supernatural way. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Give someone a big hug before you go.